So to
How's
give
Damon
Damon
the
the context, he was just asking, who the fuck is Spencer? So we met Spencer at Scott's Crawfish Boil. He's your
We
Scott's
did.
friend, right? Or did you
Yes, that's
crash
correct.
the crawfish boil?
No, I've been known Scott for a couple of years now.
Okay. And we just, I don't know, we were all just talking or whatever, and I think Spencer said something about
I just so happened to come across you guys were talking about the Don't Patrol podcast, and I've heard you guys
dot com.
before. I heard you guys, and I was like, wait, hold on, time out. You guys? And that's how it all
Yeah,
snowballed from there.
and then he got our autograph, and so.
Yeah.
And then when he told us he was
Sprite.
going to Dallas for the draft, we're like, okay, we got to have you on to explain what it was like.
Your wife, is she a sport, eh?
Oh, yes, she likes sport, yes.
I bet she does.
She's very fond of cricket, as a matter of fact.
Who isn't, eh? Know what I mean? Likes games, likes games.
Are you insinuating something?
Oh, yes.
Well?
Well, I mean, you're a man of the world, aren't you? I mean, you've been there, haven't you? I mean, you've been around. Eh?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, you've done it. You've slept with a lady.
Yes.
What's it like?
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero, but as we were waiting for Jason to get home back to Slidell,
hey.
I did drink one vodka and V8 tropical punch, not a Bloody Mary. But anyway, the draft is over, and after several months of overreacting to the potential picks that we might have made, it's now time to overreact to the potential grades that each team is going to get based on these players that have yet to ever play a down in the NFL, much less participate in a practice, or even sign an actual contract. That being said, we're going to do it, just like everybody else, but we're going to focus specifically on the newly acquired Saints. We might make fun of the Falcons a little bit in tonight's episode, which is also going to feature first-time special guest coming right up on this week's episode of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Back, huh?
So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I think you were about to say, like getting ready to do the bye-bye donkeys. I think
yeah, he was.
You heard it, didn't you?
You were like, no, we'll leave the other.
Because it just flows after a Dump Patrol podcast.
That counts. Say bye-bye, donkey.
And that's the shortest show we've ever had.
I'll go with the 4.
Ooh.
I had a Lions Club meeting. I had to get home, but now the Pelicans are on. They've got a 7-point lead after the first quarter, which is solid. I hate these West Coast late starts, but so I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jeff. Like the draft. Like, I have trust in our brain trust.
All right. For the first time in quite a few years.
Well, no doubt. But you're right. The last 2 years have made me say, hey, look, they deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Right. All right, and then we do have, like I said in the intro there, Spencer. Welcome to the show. I don't know if you listen long enough or know enough about it, but when we do say what's your number, it is what is your number on a scale from 1 to 10 based on how drunk you are.
Thank you. First off, thank you for having me, and I have listened. I actually am a 2 right now.
All right.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Come on. Okay, got a little Bayou Rum Satsuma with a lemonade.
Oh, cool. Now,
dude,
Bayou Rum Satsuma.
Oh, awesome,
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, man, try it. It's great.
Is that a Marksville product? Or?
No, I think Bayou Rum is actually, I think, out of Lake Charles. I think the distillery is out there.
All right. I will
Delicious.
Say also, shout out to Swamp Pop on the side there. The Swamp Pop and you said the Satsuma. The Satsuma Fizz mixes well with vodka as well.
Ooh.
Just going to throw that out there. All right, so that is going to lead us into our first segment, guys, which, of course, is the draft recap.
Welcome to the jungle.
The reason we have Spencer on the show primarily is not for his intellect, but rather his experience of attending the draft live in Dallas, and we want to know what was it like?
It was, I guess one word I could describe, it was magical.
What?
Because it was just, dude, it was so awesome to be able to go out there, and you got to talk to people from every team was well represented out there, and just to be able to soak it all in and to see all the, I guess you could say, all the hype over the draft has, you know, evolved into what it is now, going to a big stadium. It's, I think they said there was over 100,000 people in attendance for the first round alone.
Damn.
So dude, it was awesome. So much to do. They had I mean, you got to run the 40-yard dash, the vertical. They had a little museum for all the new Hall of Fame inductees like Brian Urlacher and the other guys. If you could think of it, they had it there, and it was so cool to be a part of that. And you got to heckle guys. You got to, you know, be the heckled. It was just all in all, it was a fantastic time. It was great.
Who had the aside from Dallas? Who had the most fans there?
It's tough. I would say four teams off the top of my head, because I really can't. Of course, Dallas is one. There was a lot of Raiders fans. There was a lot of Steelers fans. But I guess because it's closer, the Saints were well represented. So I got a lot more hoot-ats and high fives and random hugs from strangers than I would anticipate it. So it was but it was great, man. I had a lot of fun.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because, I mean, we have a lot of brain drain, you know, in our state, that goes to Texas, so that
yeah, and it was a 6-hour drive one way from me, so I mean it took up most of my day, but I mean still at the end of it we got there about, I left at 6 o'clock in the morning, stops whatever, you're there about 12:30, you check in, and then you got all this time to do all these things, so you had plenty of time, and you had a lot of, so it was cool.
That's neat. And then you said all four Browns fans were there?
There was, I tell you what, they were one of the more represented teams.
Really?
The most surprise out of this whole trip was the fact that somebody was brave enough to wear a Joe Giravicious jersey. And I was talking with a couple of guys from five different teams, and we all stopped our conversation, looked to our left, and said, "Where the hell is Joe Giravicious?" And this one had a Josh Cribbs jersey. You remember him? The Devin Hester 2.0 guy that was supposed to be big.
I remember Cribbs.
He was supposed to run. He blew my mind. You're like, wow, there's a lot of Browns fans here. But then again, they had two picks in the top five. So who wouldn't be excited for that?
Even Browns fans can get excited for that.
Attention, all Cleveland Browns fans! Wow! Not everything went exactly as planned, but no one can deny that it was 16 games long!
Complete season!
Hey, do any of you like mysteries? Well, then the Browns are the team for you! What playmaker will we select with our very high draft pick? None of them! We'll trade into the 20s and take an O-lineman, because we are the worst at things! When the NFL playoffs begin, so does the Browns' offseason!
This has been a paid advertisement by the Cleveland Browns.
You want to talk about some humble guys, too. They were like, look, we're just taking what we can get.
I mean, look, they've been the worst franchise for the last 20 years. I mean, they can't – I mean, they're just happy to be here. They hope that this time the picks work out.
Fingers crossed, man.
Yeah. I mean, They took my guy.
What are they at the draft? I guess what are they doing in between the picks while you're in the stadium?
We got seating tickets up in like the nosebleed section or whatever. Each seat had a clear gift bag with like snacks and different things. Well, each bag had a radio, and it had two channels, either ESPN or NFL Network.
Huh.
And in between picks, you had it in your ear, you turn it on, you listen to it, and you can listen to the live television broadcast through this radio in between picks. And they also have, they would have the two channels displayed on one of the big screens down on the stage. You couldn't see it during the live broadcast. So you could kind of see it in sync a little bit, but so that kind of kept your attention in between picks.
Okay. I was always wondering, like, what are they doing to fill that time? Because you're
you
not
a lot
watching.
Of skill.
Yeah.
Right, right. You sit there, it might be a little boring.
Right.
I must say, outside of that, it's pure speculation between everybody. We, me and my buddy got ran. The way they seat is was weird. Me and my friend who went there together, our two tickets were separate seats. We were actually the same seat, but he was one row down from me, so we were close. But, man, we had – right in our section, we had Cowboys, Bills, Patriots, and sure enough, the two people that sat next to me, one of them was a Falcons fan, and she was pissed. She's like, of course, I would have to sit by the Saints fan. But and her husband was a Redskins fan, so there was multiple teams right in our little area. But it was cool. You got you everybody speculate who's going where, what's going. So you kind of almost keep yourself occupied. And that, and they got the concessions. You just go. It's like a big sporting event, like you're watching a game. You go down to the concessions, get whatever, get your beer, hang out, and chill.
How do you get the tickets?
So the way you get the tickets is everybody. I think back in February when they announced it, it was a public thing. You go on NFL Network and you actually apply for tickets. So each team had like four rows of fans on the floor by the stage. They were random winners. Right, they were random winners. So if you didn't get those tickets, everything was still open to the public. You can come with different events, like say the 40-yard dash to run, you had to have a special code, which again, everything was free. You didn't pay for anything to attend. So you get this code, and I think like the week of the draft, they send you a text message saying, hey, here is our special app for the draft. So you pull up the app, and it has, okay, well, get in line for tickets. And in order to get in line for tickets, you have to be, it's all based on your location. You have to be on site, and you join in this queue. Well, they tell you how far you are in line. For example, when I submitted, we were like 5,600. But as people were allowed in, your update in the line would go lower. And so, okay, well, finally you'll get a text message when you are in the front of the line and you have 30 minutes to go to a special gate and you walk up, you show them your text message. Hey, I've got my text message. They send you through a queue and the lady basically, all these people with tickets go, how many you need? So if, say, like all four of us would have went, all I had to do was go myself and be like, hey, I need four tickets. So they hand you 1, 2, 3, 4 tickets, and you walk on out, and you go to your gate and whatever.
That's pretty cool. Now, I know a couple of years ago, I guess when it was still in New York, it used to be like a pay, like you had to pay to go to the draft, just like you have to for the Hall of Fame game, you know, the Hall of Fame. Because right. I did that back in 2010. And there was something called NFL Events, and they might still have it. I haven't been on the website. So I didn't realize everything was free now. That's very nice of them. Because I think now, because it's in, you know, Jerry World, and it's traveling all over, they want it to, you know, they want
the
as crowd. Many people, right, the crowd, so it looks on television. They want that crowd.
Well, I think that, too, they also saw the success in Philly. It was on the steps and everything where they had it was an open theater where that's open to the public. I mean, you didn't have to pay to get in, and they saw how much success they had. And I think they carried it over to Dallas.
And then they get you the way they make money. Maybe it was I'm imagining the concessions and the beer.
Oh my gosh!
Game
a
day
burrito.
Pricing.
They had like a special burrito was like $20. Cool. A burrito was $20. I can't confirm this, but we were talking about it. Somebody, there was like a large pizza that feeds everybody. I think it was close to $100.
Goo!
Like a normal, you get the normal size pizza, like a regular.
Well, no, he said it
fed
everybody.
Like a large pizza that feeds a crowd. I think somebody said it was close to $100. I don't know. I didn't I didn't.
It's everywhere. No, the pepperonis aren't too far apart.
But like, yeah, beer on tap was like $10.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you. Oh man,
that's actually.
And I didn't drink. My buddy that I brought with me drank, and he didn't bring cash on him. So I was shelling out the cash for him. I was like, oh yeah. So I was like, slow down. he's too deep in the water. He don't even hear you anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, shit. You run out of cash, buddy. That's on you.
Yeah, right.
So, but ultimately, it was really cool. And like I was telling you guys, the process of getting the tickets. So me and Jared, my buddy that went, we didn't know, say, for example, because, you know, I'm not lucky. So my luck would have been like he would have logged in and got his two tickets in line, and then mine would be the cutoff.
Yeah, right.
So we both did it saying, hey, we need two tickets. Well, sure enough, we got the message at the same time to come redeem tickets. And really, truthfully, they didn't do accountability. They just showed up. They look at you like, hey, how many you need? I could have said four. There was people getting like two tickets, and they walk out and they said, and they're like scalping them immediately as soon as they get out of the queue.
Wait a second. I mean, that happened after you got to the stadium?
Yes.
So you could have possibly gone there and not gotten tickets?
Yes. Oh yeah, you could still, because all the broadcast, the live broadcast, like NFL Network and all those guys, you could stand outside. They had televisions. Video displays.
It's still part
everywhere.
Of the experience. It's just tickets to get inside to watch the stage.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you want to go in, you could have really and truthfully. Yeah. If you would have got there.
Okay.
Early.
Okay.
So I got my two tickets, and Jared got his two tickets, and we came out and we're like, "Crap, we have four tickets." So really, we found just two Saints fans. We went and found two Saints fans that were not going to be able to get in. And sure enough, we found a guy from New Iberia and a guy from Abbeville. And we're like, guys, do y'all want to go in? They're like, yeah, man, well, we did the thing to get in line. I was like, well, when did y'all do it? We did it like 10 minutes ago. I was like, dude, it was 30 minutes before the draft, and we got the notification, and we were 5,000 in line. They're 13,000 in line, and they just got it. So we're like, nah, dude, here's two tickets. Y'all enjoy yourselves. I'm like, oh, dude, that's fucking great.
These tickets provided to you by the Dome Patrol Podcast.com.
So I could easily tell you guys the best part about the whole experience. Was hands down when the Cowboys selected Vander Esch. And right as they're on the clock, I'm looking at all the Cowboys fans like, who do you guys want? Calvin Ridley's on the board. And, of course, with Dez, everybody I talk to, the Cowboys fans, are like, no, we're glad Dez is gone. They're looking forward to a new receiver. So everybody's like, Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And, dude, they called Vander Esch. There was probably about 30,000 of us seated all together. Probably about 10,000 to 12,000 got up and left, and it was all Cowboys fans. We now had leg room. We were like laughing our asses off, and all the Cowboys fans that just up and left. They said, to hell with this. They were so mad at their pick.
That's awesome. I like when Cowboys fans are butthurt.
Yes, it was great. Dell being booed is a legit thing. You couldn't
even when he tried to cover it up by bringing on Cowboys legends, we're still booing his ass because he's an awful asshole.
Well, I was talking about the radio set. Like, you have the radio. It was open the whole time, and it was supposed to be attached to Roger. You couldn't hear inside your head how loud that stadium booed.
That's good. Awesome.
I hope he realized that.
That's awesome.
So, all right, now to the draft itself. Before we get into the players, clearly we're going to have a little reaction time to the fact that the Saints traded. They gave away next year's first-round pick, which I think is the thing that everybody's the most concerned about, in order to move up to 14 and get Davenport, who wouldn't have been there much longer anyway, so they did what they had to do. At the time versus how you feel about it now, what were your reactions to the trade itself?
I'm not a huge fan of giving away first-round picks, but the guy they drafted, you know, at the time I'm like, okay, well, at least it's a position of need. It's a little raw, but we have a good defensive line coach. It's a position that we really need. And if he turns out to work out, then yes, eventually it's worth it. You just, you know, you hate to give up an extra first round pick. And I mean, we should have known that's, you know, what the Saints do. It's funny because they traded up and like, oh, they might be taking Lamar Jackson here, and I'm like, that would have been the dumbest fucking thing ever. trade up for a backup who wasn't going to play for another 2 or 3 years. That would have been the worst thing ever. But at least I didn't think that was going to happen. But, you know, I mean, I like the guy. I like the pick. I think he's going to pan out. It's just that you hate to give up the draft pick.
If it's the number 32 pick next year, you feel better about it.
Well, and which clearly that's what they're hoping. And, yes, look, if it gets us another – if he helps us win another Super Bowl in the next 2 years, it's definitely fucking worth it.
Right.
100%.
Well, and then one thing Scott had mentioned to me, because he was texting with Darth Saint, and they said that the Saints had – this he told me like the day after, like this was Friday. The Saints pretty much had only about 15 guys with first-round grade scores on their sheet, and it was getting to that point where that was – like Davenport was one of the last guys that they felt was worth a first-round pick on their – sheet of needs, so they traded to get him, because at the end of the day, like, then they're just basically wasting a first round pick on what they had a whole bunch of second round
right
talent,
and you know they're not going to trade back because they don't do that,
right?
But like I kind of thought they were going to pick Derwin James, the safety, because he was kind of like a consensus like top five, top seven pick. You know, you pair them in the backfield, and we got the best secondary in football. I thought that's where they were going to go. I mean, look, I didn't know anything about Davenport, but again, you know, mock drafts are stupid. And after the fact, of course, every mock draft is proven incredibly wrong. But, like, I had no idea who Davenport was, but when they were talking about James, like, any, you know, best available, he's that guy. But, you know, either position would have worked out. And just getting a defensive end opposite Jordan, I mean, look, it's what we've all been talking about, because we don't know what Okafor is going to be after his Achilles. You know, maybe Henderson pans out, maybe he doesn't. Maybe Muhammad pans out, maybe he doesn't. But at least, you know, you're investing another pick and another guy that hopefully one of these guys is going to break out and really be the guy that they need, because two edge pass rushers like that makes such a difference for your defense.
Absolutely. Jordan is definitely the big winner in this with this pick and everything. If you look at his Twitter reactions, he was probably he was like a kid in a candy store. How stoked he was to get Dab. He would have loved to have gotten Chubb, but there was no way we were going to go that high to get him. So I think
we all
this
love
is a
Chubb.
I like the pick. I remember whenever it was announced that we traded up, and we were just kind of like holding our breath. What I was thinking to myself, what in the hell did we give up? And when they announced another first-round pick, you have a whole section turn and look up at me, and I'm like,
you have to answer.
To like what now, buddy? Where are you going? And in my head, I was thinking, dude, they're probably going to – they wouldn't trade this much up unless they're going quarterback, which I immediately was thinking Lamar Jackson. So when they picked Davenport, it was kind of like a sigh of relief, like, okay, it's somebody we can use immediately. Mm-hmm. There was like only when I saw Rosen fall to 10, and I knew trade talks were going on. I figured the Saints would have been in discussion for that because, you know, Sean Payton, outside of Mayfield, I know he had a big love for Mayfield, which Mayfield going one, I think, shocked everybody. I think he was the best one available, and I think it would have been worth trading up and investing in the future, But for them to go Davenport at 14, I really like the pick. I'm not a big fan of the trade, but like you guys said, if this is a pick in the high 20s, let's say 28 and up, it's worth it, because you're going to get a guy. If he can produce, you get a guy that's going to be – he's going to be around for a long time. You can kind of remember when we drafted Will Smith. We already had Charles Grant and all these other guys. We didn't need them. It was a need, but it wasn't like a necessity that we had to go. It was more like a best player.
I love the way they do these bridges with the D. I mean, they had Charles Grant, then later they draft Will Smith to kind of be the next guy.
Darren Howard,
Cam Jordan.
Well, all right, so they're back all the way. All right, Joe Johnson, Darren Howard, yeah. Charles Grant, Will Smith, Cam Jordan, and hopefully now he's the next.
Davenport.
Defense, hopefully. The great defensive end. I mean, the only one we really fucked up on in the issue was Sean Knight.
Hold on, you not remember Jonathan Sullivan? We traded.
I thought he was a tackle.
He's a defensive lineman, but he's defensive.
He's defensive ends though. But I remember Wayne Martin too.
Okay, in terms of pure defensive end, sure. Yeah. I'm sorry, just the Jonathan Sullivan.
That's what we're talking about, defensive ends. But.
Okay. Well, he's a defensive lineman. Sorry, I'm also
classic Jason.
Yes, you know. Tonight will be a
classic. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, right. I mean, we're talking about Will Smith and Charles Grant.
Don't forget Drew Brees.
Right. I mean, he's behind the line, you know. He's behind the line. So.
they're chasing him.
The lineman. Good.
I think this pick has a good chance for it to pan out for us in the long run.
And who in the text messages maybe between the Jason, David, and me that one of y'all had said something about, like, what was it, or maybe it was somebody else, but the relationship between, like, Ingram and Kamara is this year's version of that is going to be Jordan and Davenport. You know, it's his turn to have his protege to shape and do whatever and team up with and do their, you know, paired up. You ball, you get the call with Deion Sanders.
How nice would that be?
Right?
I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I've heard some people, you know, describe him, you know, compare him to Von Miller and, oh, goodness. I mean.
Well, I mean, and look, here's the thing. He may be great, but odds are he's a little raw. You know, you're not, you know, if he gets 7 sacks this year, I think that's a fantastic season for him. Like, we're not going to see, you know, we're hoping, obviously, that he ends up being a double-digit sack guy, but you're not going to get that in his rookie year. Because rookies don't do that.
Well, yeah. Like Spencer said, the winner here is Cam Jordan because he's going to require attention, you know, if he's that good. And that's going to just help the whole defensive line, which is going to then, in effect, help Lattimore and whoever ends up playing opposite him.
Yeah, I mean, this season will probably be a rotation of him, Hendrickson, Okafor, maybe a little Muhammad, like all four of those guys.
Keeping it fresh. You
know, because Davenport's still a rookie, and the problem, like, you know, fans, you can't be disappointed. Yes, we traded a lot to get him, but it's not just for what he is as a rookie. Like, fucking my cousin on Twitter was like, oh, well, he better be a rookie of the year. Well, that's not why you trade up to get him, because, like, really, all that matters is his rookie year? Like, go fuck yourself.
Right. He better have a 13-year career, I mean, become a Hall of Famer.
I mean, look, Cam Jordan's first year, he might have had, like, 3 sacks. That's it. Like, he's just, you know, he's not – what he's going to be is not going to be this year. It's going to be next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. So don't get disappointed when he gets 6 sacks, which for a rookie, that's going to be pretty damn impressive.
So that brings us to the second pick in round 3. Tre'Quan Smith from Central Florida, wide receiver, surprised by a receiver pick at that time. And
I was a little surprised with the signings we had. I didn't think we were going to pick a receiver, but after reading about him and looking at, I mean, I like it.
And he was their best available based on their scores, the highest rated player on their board at the time.
Okay, yeah, I mean, clearly that's who they picked. I mean, of course, it's the highest available.
Well, they could.
I really thought they were going to go one of the quarterbacks, say, like Kyle Laletta or one of these other guys that Sean Payton really did like, and they had a lot of visits and workouts with throughout the process. So I figured with all those visits, they would have been vested in one of those guys. But I think Tre'Quan Smith is a solid piece. Some of the guys had him as a high second round pick. So he had a good grade from the experts, if I'm doing air quotes here. But I like him. He's a big body receiver. Kind of like he's got a body like Michael Thomas. He's a big dude. Let him go up and get it.
And what I've been hearing that he's a good blocker.
Ah.
Yes. He's a good blocker, and in interviews he kept saying, "I'm a team player. I'll go throw the block. As long as my friends are scoring, that's all I'm worried about." So they asked him, "What do you think about Alvin and Mark, you know, running?" He's like, "If I'm going to help score, then that's what matters." So he's from what I understand, he's got a fantastic character. He's going to be a great kid.
I love hearing that. Love hearing that.
But doesn't it seem we went back to that old philosophy, you know, I mean, where character matters for this team, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was part of the deal when we started, when we got rid of Junior and we got rid of whoever else, and we got
Jimmy
rid of
Graham,
talented guys, but that...
Right. Yeah. Right. Because, you know, Dave Davenport, he speaks, you know, looks like a very shy person. I think that he's kind of an introvert, you know. So I don't know. I like the picks. I'm excited. And what you said, you know, the wider, what position didn't we need in the second round? You know, that, you know, once we got the other, you know, we got our defensive end.
Need a defensive end.
right. Besides defensive end, What else, you know, couldn't we have improved upon? Right. And not going after, we're not going to go after a quarterback.
No, we're going to sign one after the draft is over.
No, I mean, not quarterback, but I mean, like tight end. I mean, that's the one position I am a little surprised that we didn't.
We signed an undrafted tight end after the draft, didn't we?
An animal at tight end too.
Yeah.
From Temple.
See, so you even got that covered. I mean, you don't have to draft them. You just got to pick them up. And you know the Saints, if there's one thing, the Saints have this uncanny, I would imagine a higher percentage than others, is getting these gems in the rough from undrafted free agents.
Right.
Okay. So I think in the text there, and then you said at the top of the show, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And the other thing is the Saints what do y'all said too? The Saints lately, this regime's, when they make mistakes, they're mistakes of like aggression, aggressive mistakes of trying to make a move, not timid, conservative mistakes that they're afraid to make a move. Like when we make mistakes, it's because we're trying to do something, which is a better way to make mistakes than the mistake of avoiding risk.
Well, thing is with Drew Brees being 2 or 3 years left, like at this point, I mean, just go for everything. I mean, you got Brees for a couple of years. You got to go for everything you can right now.
Right.
Which is shocking with the way the Patriots did their normal thing where they traded back. And, like, don't they realize Brady's 41 years old?
Hey, the Patriots signed Etling. That's it. Another dynasty.
They drafted Etling with the first pick in the 7th round.
Right, that's it. Another dynasty. That's it.
And he is the third quarterback on the roster behind Hoyer and Brady. That's it.
So then, all right, the next pick, Rick Leonard. And aside from the fact that you never trust a guy with two first names, but what is the what do you see in this pick that you like or don't like? Because this is the one that if there is going to be kind of like a divided opinion.
Oh yeah, look, Twitter was aghast.
Yeah,
they were so like this guy wasn't on
mock draft.
Guy who lives in his mom's basement. They didn't know who he was. They're like, oh, this is such a reach. He's undrafted. He wasn't on all the mock drafts. Dumb fuck in grandma's basement didn't know who he was.
But you know what that tells me? That he's going to be a Pro Bowl superstar. Well, because they hated the Kamara pick, and remember they hated
Ramchick.
Yeah, but not as much as the punter.
Morstead?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Morstead. Remember when we took Morstead in the 5th, I want to say, you know.
No,
people hated that.
We took him in the 6th, but didn't we trade a pick to move up to get him? I thought we traded to get Morstead.
I think we drafted him in the 5th round.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Morstead was a 5th round pick. My concern with Rick Leonard is the fact that he's a defensive lineman converted over to an offensive tackle.
He knows how they think.
So a right
he's
tackle.
Inside their heads.
Yeah, he's only played right tackle on a collegiate level, I think, a season and a half. Now, Peyton said in interviews that every game it looked like Rick got significantly better. He took big strides every game.
And he did beat a guy out. Like, you know, he beat an existing starter out to take the job, and I think that's kind of the thing. Like, he went from nothing, and then he all of a sudden he beat this guy out, and
so he can be coached. He can. He's an athlete. He knows how to pick it up and run with it, and he doesn't have to come in and start either. I mean, that's the other thing here. This guy, he could be a development project, and you need this.
Well,
kind
he's
of
definitely
on our offensive line.
He's another raw guy, kind of like Davenport. He's going to take some, you know. He don't have the pedigree like Davenport will have, but he's going to be a work. And I think the retirement of Streif definitely pushed this one in the health of Armstead. Because how many times are you going to kick out Pete out to left tackle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I understand the pick with Depp, but I think you probably go on a different tackle. But it's going to be interesting. I think he's going to be a boomer bust.
All right. And then Natrell Jamerson, defensive back. Is he going to play opposite Lattimore?
He's going to play a lot of special teams.
Now, was he the one that ended up getting, like, defensive MVP in the little senior game this winter? Picked up a fumble, ran it back for 68 yards. Which game was that? It wasn't the Senior Bowl, but it was a different one of those other kind of, you know, showcase games. I think there's upside on this one.
Like, it was an absolute steal to get him. Like, he's a quality player. I mean, eventually he could take over safety. And look, that's why I thought we were going to take Derwin James in the first round, because, I mean, we've got, you know, you got Marcus Williams back there. You got Von Bell. We signed Coleman as the three safety set. But if this guy can take their job, I mean, I'm all for it. Now, I think Peyton said got him in as a cornerback. Which, I mean, okay.
But then you got Cameron Moore after that, right? You got to. But again, why not load up back there? Because if there's one thing the Saints doctors do, it's injure all of our defensive backs.
Right.
I mean, and you need eight guys back there.
So I mean, eventually down the line, yeah, maybe they'll start in the secondary, but at least like immediate special teams help. I mean, we've talked about it, like special, you know. It's a huge part of the game. So to help these guys, special teams, like I'm all for grabbing guys like that.
All right. And then were you surprised that we picked running back at the end there with was it from Louisiana Tech?
No, I thought we were going to need a guy. I kind of like it. I mean, he's a small guy, a lot of power, tough to tackle. So look, he's not going to get a ton of carries with Ingram Kamara, but he'll get a carry here and there, may return some kicks.
Yeah, Peyton even mentioned it in his post-draft press conference about these guys returning. You know, we need help in the kick return.
Mm-hmm. So Jamerson
and Scott.
Yeah.
I think that's why they went and got Cameron Moore, too, in the sixth round, the corner out of Boston College. Mm-hmm. He's a – from what you get to – he started in everything, but he was a – of all the corners, he was a very solid tackler. And I think that might have been a big reason why they went and got him so late to contribute on special teams. But going back to the Boston Scott kid from the running back from Louisiana Tech, I was actually surprised about that. I figured, you know, you're kind of deep at running back. You got Edmonds. You got, what is his name? The other running back we got from California a couple years ago. Oh, my Lord. But, I mean, I feel like we were kind of deep at running back. So it was kind of a surprise pick.
But that kid, is he even still there, the one from California? I know who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Lasco, because he got concussed hard last year.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that might be it. Okay, then that might be it. Yeah, he might not have had. Like,
he got knocked out. He missed multiple games, if not got
knocked out.
So, yeah,
I guess being so early in your career, you get hit hard like that. You're like, you know what? Let's walk away while we can.
Yep.
Not these guys are like 8-9 seasons in and they're like, nah, I got too much to lose.
Yeah.
So they continue playing until they're brain dead.
And then finally we round out by pop the champagne and break the, it's not a curse, but with the drought, the Saints finally draft an LSU player to create some offensive line depth and hometown brother Martin player will clap.
Fuck Brother Mark.
Well,
but
hey, good, fuck you, buddy.
Good for Will Clap. The Saints got the clap.
Good pick. I mean, it's a feel good pick because it's LSU, and
well, but it's more than a feel good pick. The guy is a quality player, and I mean, look, Unger is
better than Rick Leonard, but, right?
But I mean, in 3 years, what if Unger just, you know,
right,
falls off? Like, this is a good guy to have. And look, along with Leonard, it gives you, look, we needed offensive line depth, and this is, gives you two guys, you know, that can kind of play multiple positions along the line in a pinch if you need them.
I mean, like, how many years do you think we have left with Unger?
I don't know. He's 132. I mean, I don't know. He could probably play until 35.
At least, yeah.
I'd say about 3-4 years, maybe. Okay. I suppose.
And then if Clapp can come in and he plays for 10 years after that, I mean, you know, if he's as good and he steps up, he's that guy, I mean, you can get 10 years out of him. I mean, we might be set at center for the next 13, 14 years.
That's the hope. We'll see.
I'll take
it. Getting a little bit ahead of yourself.
Well,
but,
six Super Bowls in that time, too.
But, I mean, like, for now, it provides real good depth on the line that we didn't have coming into the draft.
Right. All right.
And I think he's going to fill in the role that Jack Allen, that undrafted center, I think he was from Wisconsin, All-American. No, Michigan State. All-American guy. And I think he was that they had the vision for him, too. And I think they just cut him this offseason, so he's probably going to fill that in and as a project at the offensive line to later fill in for Unger. But it was a good pick all the way around.
All right, and then so what we'll do now is we're going to do move into – it's still going to be draft talk, but it is the look at him tweets. And we got a couple of tweets we'll read out here. This one comes from a new Twitter post, first time, I believe, from Callie Cajun.
Thanos?
Callie Cajun.
Says, watching all this film, I feel the same way now about Traquan Smith as I did about Kamara last year. People are really going to be surprised. Great pick. So there's a Traquan Smith believer.
And I hope, look, even Michael Thomas, like we were, Michael Thomas, like, okay, yeah, did we need a receiver? Maybe not, but we picked him, and man, have we been,
look at him come through,
pleasantly surprised in the 2 years we've had.
Smith was a guy, he had over 1,000 yards last year and 13 touchdowns. I mean, granted, it was at, where was he, Central Florida?
He was Central Florida, but
Central Florida, yeah.
But anybody getting 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns as a receiver in anywhere is good, right? I mean.
And I saw this too. Minus Ted Ginn, the Saints' four receivers are no shorter than 6'2", and 6'2" is Traquan Smith. Everybody else is higher, is taller than 6'2".
He's gonna look like a short guy out there. He's gonna look like Willie Snead. Except,
well, that's good. I mean, that's you don't draft a tight end, get another tall receiver. I'm all fine with that because supposedly he's good with going over the middle too. And yeah, I like it.
All right, Neil comes in with "Remember Me."
I remember.
Says Thomas and Lattimore at a ridiculous number in a ridiculous poll. Are people dumb or are we under the radar again already? I'm not sure what the Thomas Lattimore ridiculous.
No, he's talking about the NFL. You know how every year they come out with the players.
Oh, how y'all were talking about the
Thomas. They were like 82 and 81 and like whatever. I stopped paying attention to that list a long time ago.
So then are the Saints dumb or are we riding under the radar again and everybody's going to realize best draft class once again?
Well, this is supposedly players vote on it. So, I mean, fuck the players. I mean, that is
what
a lot
do they
of
know?
Yeah. Fuck these assholes. They're dumb players. They don't know shit.
They're all concussed.
I mean, it is. I mean, look, considering Lattimore was a rookie, it is a lot of. I know it seems low, but it's a lot of respect to give a rookie. But, like, I don't care what these players think. I mean, look, we know how good these players are. And I remember, like, either last year or 2 years ago, Breeze was, like, 30-something. I mean, like, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know that they would put him at 30 and not in the top 10 every single year. So
That's all just filler stuff to take up the off season and everything. So right. I don't pay any of that any mind.
It is funny, like, people were pissed about it all day today. I'm like, what? It's a stupid list. Who cares?
Right. Somebody's got to write something. We got to do a show. So,
sorry, Neil. Why do you care? Come on, Neil.
Dr. Hudat says, I heard that Davenport was initially a wide receiver in high school. Could you see us ever shuffling him into any packages as a tight end? I don't see it necessarily put him over as a tight end. Bears of 85.
No,
but
chance.
I do see maybe a few interceptions when he sticks his hands up.
I'm all for it.
I'd love to see him get a pick and run that thing back.
I mean, you never know. I mean, again, he's a rookie. You got to temper your expectations because what he's going to be is not going to be this next
defensive
year.
Defensive rookie of the year. I mean, that's all. That's
defensive rookie of the year, rookie of the year, Super Bowl MVP. Anything less than that is fucking bullshit.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Derek Abshire said, and this is rounded out, says, what rookie do y'all think is going to have the biggest impact? And why? I mean, we clearly know that it's going to be Davenport with all of what Damon just said.
No. I'm going to say the receiver.
Traquan Smith?
I'm going to say Traquan.
Yeah, I could buy that. I think I'll jump in there with you. I think Traquan's going to be I think he's going to surprise people how well he can run block, and I think we're going to continue with Kamara and Ingram. I think he's going to be a big contributor. Davenport might struggle a little early getting used to. I mean, he's gone from Conference USA to the pro level. It's
going
to be a little gap. So, I mean, give him a little bit of time, but I think immediately I think Traquan can Can't, I think he'll be the bigger contributor.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, like he may only get like maybe 40 catches and 4 or 5 touchdowns, but they're going to be big plays. He's going to be blocking for the running game. And look, even
that's
if
the impact right
and,
there.
And even if Davenport gets 5 sacks, to me that's a successful season for him.
Right.
I still think Smith right. will have more of
well,
an
look,
impact.
I mean, this year, that's hard. That's harder to answer this year because we didn't draft anybody out of Ohio State. You know, that would have been my default answer.
Right.
Whoever came out of Ohio State.
Well, you did sign, what's his face? The
JT Barrett.
JT yeah. Barrett, to a 3-year
well,
deal.
If he's the rookie of the year, that means Breeze got hurt and we're probably fucked.
Well, not if he's the rookie of the year.
Well, yeah, we're still fucked. I get it, but yeah, still fucked.
not really. It would actually mean that we're set up for another 13 years of success. Maybe more.
Right.
20.
I must say. But maybe it's a play out of LSU because when you know the locker room gets the clap, that's a bad. that will affect everything.
So the
better than Mercer.
What do we know about this Ohio State quarterback situation about him joining the Saints?
I mean, fine. He did win when they won the national championship. He came behind a crowded backfield out of nowhere and won it, but then he couldn't necessarily hold on to the job the next couple of years. He's not very accurate as a passer.
Well, then what the fuck did we sign him for?
He can draft it. If he doesn't pan out, it's not a big waste.
I mean,
he played in college in, what, 10 years? It's like every year you hear JT Barrett being the quarterback of Ohio State.
Yeah, and he didn't beat out the other guys. It's crazy. Or he did, and then he did.
He lost his – I think as a freshman, he lost his job to Cardale Jones. And Cardell was the starting quarterback when they won the national title. That's what Cardell got drafted
yeah.
higher. JT was a starter, and I think he had some injuries because who was it that started recently over there?
There was Braxton Miller.
It was Braxton, and I think JT couldn't play because of injuries, so Braxton stepped up. And then after Braxton left, it was JT's show, and they had success over there. So you got to think JT's kind of excited. I bet you Thomas had a lot to do with getting him signed over too. You get a familiar face to throw to him, you know. And I think he's got a lot more potential than say Taysom Hill.
Oh, sure.
I like the signing. It was a great signing.
Yeah, he's definitely got a lot of talent to work with. And now he's going. You know, he gets to be behind Breeze and with Peyton as an offensive mind. And maybe they could unlock the potential.
But if he has this inaccuracy problem, I hate that. Can you get better at that? I mean, can
more
you?
More than likely,
at this
no.
stage?
Yeah, but yeah, don't worry about it. Like we said, we didn't waste a draft pick on him.
I know.
If he has an accuracy problem.
But I hate the guy
Then he won't see the field.
But he's going to be practicing in the summer, and he's going to be throwing to receivers who need to be catching balls, and the ball's not going to be anywhere near him.
He's also going to be working with the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. I think he's got to pick up a few things, I'm sure.
I hope so. I just don't like these running quarterbacks.
Okay, well, he's not a running quarterback.
He's not. He's more like an Aaron Rodgers. He's a balanced
guy. I know why you're saying that, Jeff, but he's not a running quarterback.
No, I'm not saying it because he's black. I'm saying it because...
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
He's not a running quarterback. Why would you assume he's a running quarterback?
Because everything I've read about him, he's a dual threat. That's the big selling point on him is he's dual threat.
He's really not. He can,
and
he
what
can
other
hurt
dual
you
is,
the
threat is there besides throwing? On the, what's the other dual? What's the part of the dual?
There is no Dana, only dual.
Wow, old school reference there.
That's right, huh? Bring it back, Mike. Bring it back.
Well, either way. I mean, y'all are right.
It's just a
body
risk
to be in camp, and if he makes the team, he makes the team, and he's better than the other two that are there.
He got a 3-year deal, so he's got 3 years to develop. So
that's what if that ends up being the guy that super that comes.
I mean,
out
again, like you never know. I mean, fucking Tony Romo was undrafted, and he worked out fairly well.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
So you're saying that Barrett has a future in announcing?
He might, Rabbit. He might.
Saints. I figure the Saints are trying to out New England. New England by Tom Brady, late round pick, and then we'll see that late round pick, and we'll get an undrafted guy to be the next greatest NFL player.
I mean, it's crazy. Like quarterbacks are such crapshoot. Like you never know.
That's the other thing is imagine the pressure on any quarterback that's going to come in and follow Breeze. I mean, you know, every guy that the Saints even tries picks up a ball and throws it. Everybody in New Orleans is like, you think you're going to be that guy?
It's funny you say that because I had on Facebook, you had like the memories and stuff. I remember when we drafted Garrett. That year I was high on Bryce Petty. I would have loved to have Bryce come in. And I remember when we got Garrett, I was like, oh man, he could really be the future, man. Oh my God, how wrong was I?
That's the thing. We were right. Anybody that the Saints pick that can throw a ball, we build up expectation for, and they're never going to live up to it.
Oh, look, we are going to be so let down after Breeze retires. I mean, yeah, we are going to be in a funk.
I'm so scared of the future after Breeze. I don't see Breeze playing longer than 2 years. So it's we got it, and I think that might be one of the reasons why they gave JT a 3-year deal. He's got that 1-year deal after Breeze leaves. Hey, you got that one shot. Here's your trial for the new contract.
JT.
Yeah, I'm so scared. I'm so scared.
It's not gonna be. It's not gonna be pretty.
No. Look, I think your best bet. I don't know. Peyton might have to go through free agency. You know.
I agree. You look at a guy that you've seen play and the league, and you know what he's capable. I mean, that's to me the percentage wise that and I don't know, but it has to work out better than drafting.
Right.
Like any team that signs a free agent quarterback. It has to have worked out more times than drafting a quarterback. I mean, right. Look at the Cleveland Browns alone have drafted. What was the stat they said before the draft started? The Cleveland Browns have drafted like 18 quarterbacks in 12 years or something.
Wow. They've signed guys. They've drafted. Like, it hasn't mattered.
Right. I think, right. They in 20 years, you know, since they
17 or 18 quarterbacks.
Oh, no, more than that, but 29 quarterbacks, you know, is more than one a year that started for them. I mean, insane.
But I'm even talking
99.
I'm talking about, 99, they were talking about drafting quarterbacks before the draft started, like since 1999, drafting quarterbacks, they've drafted like 18 of them in the
you're right.
20-something years.
Right. Remember it was the, it was Manziel. They did the quarterback out of Notre. I think without a Notre Dame.
They drafted Wheaton.
Brady Quinn. Right, Wheaton. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right. Their coach is 1-31.
And they kept him.
And he has a job. I mean, I can't do much. I mean, do you really think I would do worse? I mean, you know.
I don't think that's Hugh Jackson's fault, though. He was doing everything he can with the crap he's got.
Yeah.
And they gave him a long leash. They said, look, we know it's going to be rough.
Well, wait a second. Okay, they gave him a long leash. His first year, he won one game. Fuck, he ain't going to do worse than that. Bullshit. He won zero games his second season. He might be a good – I mean, I don't see improvement. You know, now they're going to improve.
Yeah, there's no way but up.
No doubt about that. He will definitely not do worse than he did last
year. Well, I don't know. Did they win any preseason games last year? Maybe they'll lose all their preseason and regular season this year. Watch the Browns make the playoffs this year.
No. No way in hell.
No chance.
You know what? I'm going to root for them.
Again, they're looking.
Good luck.
Oh, no doubt. Look, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'll root for him. Right. I root for anybody but Atlanta.
Right. All right. Any final thoughts on the Pelicans maybe or golf there?
Well, Pelicans, we're in round two. We're currently losing to the Warriors. Look, it's going to be tough. The Warriors won two of the last three titles. It's asking a lot to beat them. But we're going to get a couple playoff games. We got a game Friday. We got a game Sunday. You know, we'll see what happens tonight, see what happens going forward. It's not looking great, but look, the season's a success. Advances to the second round, so there's a positive there. Golf. Tigers playing this week. Well, we also had the Zurich this past week. It was a great event in New Orleans. The weather cooperated. Good crowds. A lot of fun. I went out there. Tried the walk-up music to the players. It was kind of hit or miss, but I think they're going to tweak it a little bit. But it's becoming a better event that players are going to want to play in because it's fun. So
the walk-up music, like they're playing like at WWE, as the player comes out, they're playing music for them each player.
Yeah, like the teams decide what they want to listen to. they pick an entrance song and they play it while they hit their tee shot on the weekend. So that
I mean, on every
No.
You throw number one.
But it was a good event. I mean, you know, good crowds, good fun event. The event's gaining in popularity, which is good. The best thing they ever did was do the team format. So
I like that little entrance song. You know,
we play entrance music.
That's right. All right. Anybody else? Final thoughts?
Thank you guys for having me. I definitely enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys will have me back.
Yeah, we'll see.
Nah. You seem kind of like a one-hit wonder, you know. What you doing next weekend? You going to another draft or something? Seem like a boring kind.
See you guys against next year.
You'll be our mock draft guy.
We can send you to the NBA draft, but the Pels don't have a first-round pick. So
again, as usual.
Yeah. As is tradition.
Toss it out to our man on the street, Asian reporter, Trisha Takanawa. What is that? All right, anyway, that's the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
So put your seatbelts on. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, mock draft donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.